Well, there's no mistake in this, and this is extra special. It's Friday!
Yay!
You can say that again.
Yay!
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. It's Friday.
Oh, that's you making those noises.
Into the holidays, and all I'm doing right now is shaking my sweater.
Right, you're looking very festive.
People will see this later. You'll put it in one of our feeds or something. But Danielle hasn't seen this last part.
Yeah.
Let me stand up here. Oh,
close
sorry.
Up here. Let's see.
Okay. Oh, look at this.
Well, wait a minute.
Whoa!
It keeps getting better. I love Xmas. That's good.
I'm afraid that's it. That's all there is.
If it's a wet snow, don't go out in it. You might get electrocuted.
That's
the first thing Mike said to me when he saw this earlier is, for God's sakes, don't get electrocuted during the show. And I said, it's good for ratings.
Yeah. Many views.
But I got to tell you, it lights up. It's a Christmas tree on the front, all these lights. If you watch Jimmy Fallon, it's very similar to all the sweaters. In fact, he for years got those sweaters from the Michigan-based Ugly Christmas Sweater Company. It's uglychristmassweater.com, Mark and Fred Hajar. And I don't think they're related to my dear friend. Are you laughing now? What's happening?
Because whenever you move your arm, you get jingled.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a problem. Besides that, I'm too hot already.
Yeah.
So you know how I like it cool.
Right.
I've cooled the studio down, but with this sweater on, forget about it. I'm going to take it off in a minute. But yeah.
We'll make sure to put that up online too.
Yeah, well, no, we're not going to do that. All right, so the Hajars, not to be confused with Labib Hajar from the Beirut restaurant. I don't think they're related. No. I think I've asked them that question in the past, but the reason we even know about these guys is because of the great Jason Brown, who used to be associated with our show, then, like so many other people, went on to do greater things. And the greater thing was starting his company, Public City PR. And they're the best. If you need a PR firm, Public City PR with Jason Brown, of the best. But they were very quiet this year about the ugly Christmas sweater people. So I don't know. They just, maybe they've got so much business, they don't feel they need any more PR, which is wrong, but... Now, whatever, we wish them well.
Is that an ugly Christmas sweater from that company?
Yes. That might be why I'm talking about the uglychristmassweater.com. This is the local company. But this is last year's sweater.
Yeah. Now, what do those take? AA batteries?
Kim was in charge of that. So for all I know, it's hooked up to my car battery, and I'm going to run the... What is it, honey? AA batteries or triple A?
Oh, I don't know. They're really tiny.
They're really tiny. So these are the batteries from last year. So it's probably triple A. Wait, let me look at the little container.
The cell batteries.
They're smaller than triple A. They're those little like...
The silver ones, right?
Yeah, the little round ones for hearing aids and for garage door openers and all of that. Okay, which explains when I walk through the neighborhood, all the garage doors go up.
Right.
So... Anyway, we have Relentless Positive Radio on your way to making each and every day count, because each day is a gift. Don't forget the QTR, quality time remaining. And thanks again for being an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Mike Parsons, our executive producer. Danielle Mason, pressing all the right buttons. Rich Luzinski, WJR traffic and weather first. And then, of course, Marie Osborne and Dave Rieger and Thomas, Kim Smith. It takes a village. No, I can't believe I said that. Oh, I never want to use that expression. That means I'm really deranged right now.
Paul,
it takes a group of good, hardworking people. Yes, what is it?
If our listeners ever wanted to know how much you talk with your hands, every time you hear a bell jingling, that's Paul talking with his hands. That's how animated he is.
And an angel gets its wings.
That's right.
So today, many angels will get their wings. All right, now we have some important business.
Yes, all right.
We promised that we would tell people what the president did yesterday and what it meant. The president directed the federal government to reclassify cannabis as a less dangerous drug. This is a huge shift in U.S. drug policy, but it doesn't legalize marijuana federally. The move is an effort to expand medical research into cannabis applications, including medical marijuana and CBD. senior administration officials say. Trump's executive order is expected to eliminate tax burdens that have made profitability difficult for many in the legal pot industry. I wonder if that means, too, a lot of these pot industries aren't able to put their money in banks or something. I mean, there was some kind of a thing.
Yeah. It's
because the banks are federally chartered or
yeah,
I think they can now.
But you know what? We have one of our best legal guys on this coming up in Todd Flood. We can.
Well,
ask
remind me
that.
To ask him because I won't remember. In fact, I may pass out before Todd comes and he's our first guest. I'm going to have to get out of this sweater. You already have footage of it, so you can use that footage, or were you not rolling yet?
No, I was rolling. So,
oh, OK.
Yeah.
All right. So it is coincidentally, and Jason Brown, the finest PR guy, public city PR, Jason Brown, he get a kick out of this. You can get a free classic ring donut from participating Krispy Kreme locations when you wear an ugly holiday sweater today. If you go into a Krispy Kreme and you wear an ugly holiday sweater, you get that donut. Friday is Ugly Sweater Day, also known as National Ugly Holiday Sweater Day, and Krispy Kreme is rewarding those who celebrate with one of their doughy treats.
Should get one.
Well, it's fun. I mean, there's no question. We had 1 year, I don't know, Kim would know, we had everybody in the family wearing the same ugly sweater. And it was,
you posted that on your Instagram, I think.
We might have posted it, and I probably had pushback from the kids. One of them, Adam wasn't thrilled. Somebody wasn't thrilled. Jamie was not thrilled. You know, so he kind of like carried it around until the last second when we said, well, if you want to ride home, you're going to put that sweater on.
You get married or I'm going to give you something to be merry about.
Right. I want you happy, damn it. You know, you look like you have a spotlight on your face right now.
Yeah, it's just the studio lighting or it's just that the light of heaven is shining on me. One of the two.
It's not that you're really pale and going to pass out
before me. I'm not visiting you from the beyond.
Okay, good. A raccoon sparks chaotic scene at Wisconsin restaurant. It fell through the ceiling, and it bit somebody who was eating in the diner.
Was it the same one that got drunk in a
liquor
store?
No, this is not the drunk. It was probably their spouse, but it wasn't the same raccoon. And this one, in the end, after the police and the who couldn't do anything, by the way, they couldn't shoot it, they couldn't tase it for whatever reason. I don't know. And then the animal control people came and they finally had to, I didn't realize how much I talk with my hands and arms until it makes noise. They finally had to put the raccoon down. I mean, it was biting people for God's sakes.
Right.
I'm sorry, folks. I know you don't like to see that. Eating brie, gouda, and cheddar may lower dementia risk. So that means when you're having a heart attack from eating all that cheese, you'll know you're having a heart attack, and
right.
It won't be something you won't understand because of dementia. I made that up. And then here we'll get into a little later. Swearing can make you physically stronger.
Yeah.
I must be one of the strongest men on earth. Because when I'm not on the air, and I've always said that if a nun were a talk show host, she'd probably swear when she was off the air, too. It's the pressure of making sure you never slip while you're on the air.
Right.
So anyway. All right. We're underway. It's the Friday before Christmas. And I do want to mention on a more somber note, but a thankful note, in our own backyard. Okay, where'd it go? Ford Newsroom. Ford Newsroom. Okay, here's a story that we from Ann Thomas, Mary Burney, senior account executive, Ron Rotol or Rotoli. Do you know from Plant Moran?
Our friends at Plant Moran, yes.
Yeah. And he wrote saying, my friend's dad, longtime Ford engineer and Plymouth resident, Jim Moyland, is the guy who invented that, you know, I tell you, it saved my bacon a number of times on different cars. When you look at the gas tank and there's a little arrow there, sometimes there's a gas pump with an arrow. He's the guy who came up with the idea, which is brilliant, to point to which side of the car the gas tank is on.
Oh, yeah. I use it on a weekly basis, even though I've had my car for 5 years.
Well, you should remember what side it's on now. I do it when I'm driving different cars and stuff. Right. But the point is, God bless him. And Ted Ryan pointed this out on the what they call the Moylan Arrow. And it was this Ford engineer, Jim Moylan, who, frustrated by the lack of a clear way to determine which side of the car the gas tank was on, inspired to solve the problem. And he sketched a small arrow on the fuel gauge and submitted the idea to Ford's internal suggestion team, asking, wouldn't it be great if you always knew what side of the car the gas tank was on? The rest is history. But I am sorry to say, sad to pass along, that Mr. Moylan has passed away. And we just wanted to give him a little credit, this maybe for us one last time, of this wonderful developer and designer and engineer, inventor, that we're surrounded by great people in the auto industry that don't always get the attention and the kudos they deserve. So we wanted to give Mr. Moylan, with the Moylan Arrow, this credit upon hearing of his death. James Moylan, we thank you for all the time you've saved us not having to turn around and go the other way to get our gas in our car. All right, there we are. We're underway, 12:16 at 760 WJR. So I guess then Sunday is the shortest day of the year and the official start of winter, even though it has it has felt like winter a number of times. But that's it officially, Sunday. Well, that'd be 21st. Well, that makes sense. That's when it's supposed to happen. All right, we have so much to cover today, and we start off with a great guest who you also know as, besides a fill-in host here, he's the managing partner, the founder of Flood Law, PLLC. He's the host of WJR's Behind the Bench with Flood Law, or Todd Flood, and he's here right now to answer some questions about, well, I don't think he knows very much about this, but he's going to answer some questions about marijuana. Todd?
Yes. Yeah.
I know a little about marijuana from my college days.
Well, but it doesn't surprise me, nor should it surprise anybody else in this world that, you know, marijuana days, Bill Clinton didn't inhale. But regardless, at the end of the day, it is a prevalent, even more so nowadays, especially in the state of Michigan, since we have recreational use in Michigan. But
and we're told it's completely different than it was when I was in college. So I don't know that. I do remember being at a Rolling Stones concert, and I smelled skunks. And Kim had to explain to me that was lab manufactured marijuana that smells like skunks. Well, who the hell wants to smoke a skunk?
Yeah, who wants a skunk? No one wants to smell like a skunk nor smoke a skunk. But regardless, marijuana has all different purposes and all different uses, but the medical and otherwise, I know judges that have insomnia, can't sleep, and, you know, they use what is called an edible. But what happened yesterday was President Trump signed off on a executive order taking marijuana from a Schedule I drug to a Schedule III drug, taking it out of things like heroin or LSD, putting it in more in the likes of Tylenol with codeine or, you know, businesses being able to sell it. And that does something for the economy because now you are going to get federal tax codes and have the ability to be taxed on it as well. And businesses also can write things off as it relates to, you know, marijuana. So it's a move in a direction of more federal legalization than what it once was. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
But it doesn't.
Since 1970. Go ahead.
But it doesn't legalize marijuana federally.
Correct. Correct. That was the $64 million question I asked last night to all the legal experts in the field of marijuana. And today, no, it doesn't legalize it federally. It just removes it to a different level of schedules, which, you know, it's not LSD. It's now in the category of Tylenol.
Which means you're not going to go to prison for having it now. And the next question is, of course, a lot of these people who were in prison because of just marijuana, and I say just, but just marijuana. They've been sprung anyway, but I suspect there'll be people now asking to be let out, depending on how much marijuana and if they were dealers or if they were just users or whatever. But the other question I had, and I'm glad Mike Parsons reminded me, I want to ask you this. Todd Flood, managing partner, founder of Flood Law, PLLC, host of Behind the Bench with Todd Flood on WJR. And that is, I'd always heard there's some kind of issue with marijuana businesses trying to use banks and be able to deposit their money in banks, but they couldn't if they were like, they're all federally chartered, so they couldn't do it. And I'm just wondering, did this change at all because of this?
Yes, because it changes the tax code as well. And you will be able to see more commerce within banks, the ability to deposit, the ability to have checking accounts and savings accounts. There are banks within the state of Michigan that do banking, credit unions in particular, that do banking with people that have marijuana stores, shops, and distribution centers, I should say. But it was difficult. It was difficult because, like, for example, Michigan and Ohio, we have two different, very different laws. One in Michigan, you could have recreational use. You could also have it, for medical purposes. Ohio was very different. It was only there for medical purposes at some time. So this is definitely going to free up banking, and people that have cash now are going to be able to deposit the cash. Which it's for the most part, a cash business.
Well, this is, in that respect, it's good, although there are still a number of people and even strong President Trump supporters who urged him to keep marijuana a Schedule I drug and not do this.
I think as studies come out and it's there, it's, and many, many, many states have these laws already on the books. It's a terrible thing when you have a conflict with the state and the federal government as it relates to laws. And I think as we move down this path, you're going to find more legalization for marijuana. Again, everything is going to have to be, you're still going to have to follow all the rules and regulations. You can't drink and drive. You're not going to be able to smoke marijuana and drive. You're going to have certain, make sure that the laws are enforced so that people don't violate them, just like any ordinary thing. Prohibition was a big part of this country for a long time. Then alcohol became legalized. Same thing, I think, is going to happen with marijuana.
Well done. We appreciate your expertise. Managing partner of Flood Law, PLLC, the founder of it, and the host of Behind the Bench with Todd Flood on WJR. Todd, Merry Christmas to you and the family.
Merry Christmas, Paul W., my friend. I wish you and your family the best, along with Mike and all the guys there and ladies there at WJR. You guys have been awesome to me. So,
well,
the very
we love
best
you.
To all of you.
You've been awesome to our listeners and to us, so we appreciate that very much. It goes both ways. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye. 12:29, and it's time for Automotive Views because it's Friday.
Commencement's the best event of our academic year. It really is. And it's that way because we get to recognize your achievement, each of you. One of the nearly 1,900 graduates and soon to be Wayne State University alumni, made significant sacrifices, we know that, to earn your degree. We're thrilled for what's in front of you today. A bright future, a future full of purpose and possibility.
Commencement at Wayne State University. That was Wednesday, when nearly 1,900 students graduated. In fact, in the 2025 calendar year, Wayne State has graduated more than 6,500 students. And the proud interim president of Wayne State University, President Richard Bierschbach, joins us right now. And that was whose voice we were hearing at the start of this segment. Mr. President, what you said made sense, and it must have felt good saying it, sir.
Well, thank you, Paul W. It's a real pleasure to be on here with you. It's my first time on here with you at WJR, and I'm excited to be here. And yes, I was very proud to say what I said there. Commencement and graduating students, that's why we exist, right? That's the culmination of years of hard work. It's a rite of passage, and it's really central to our mission and our identity here at Wayne State. So for me, it was just a blast, and it was fantastic to send those students off on their next chapter.
Well, and it's good for us too, Mr. President, given that the university credentialed more than 1,000 healthcare professionals who will support the health and well-being of their communities and address the workforce shortages we keep hearing about in medicine. You're doing a lot at Wayne State to try to fix that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And just to put a finer point on that, you know, we need that here in Michigan. If you saw the Detroit Regional Chamber's recent report, we rank 40th right now in per capita income in the state. And we rank 33rd in post-high school educational attainment. And there's a direct correlation between, a direct connection between educational attainment and how states do economically. And so a big part of our mission is to push that forward.
You know, it's an interesting time when you think about it, because we are pushing very much now a trade school education. Now, the question is, have we swung the pendulum too far one way or another? For one period of time, we didn't pay too much attention to trade schools. And we said, you got to go to college, you got to go to college. And now we've swung the other way, where there are a lot of people saying, you don't need to go to college. Don't go to college. Go to trade school. I mean, there's a happy medium somewhere in the middle, because research still tells us that a college degree does indeed pay off on average. People with a bachelor's degree have an average net worth that is 5 times more than those with only a high school diploma. Now, that doesn't mean they're figuring in those with trades and that are fabulous at what they do, electricians, plumbers, contractors, builders, you know, all of that. Have we found a happy medium in there, President?
You know, I think there's always, room for both. But I can tell you, the data shows that we're just going to need more and more four-year degrees in the future. You know, by 2031, 69% of all the jobs in our state are going to require some education beyond high school. And we know that people with a bachelor's degree, as you say, it's not just that they have a higher net worth. They also occupy, and this is related to that, many more of the jobs that pay the most. So, you know, the top two-thirds of the highest-paying jobs in the state are occupied by people with four-year degrees. And so I think, you know, the economy is going to tell us what we need to do there. And the economy is saying we need more post-high school education.
Wayne State University Interim President Richard Bierschbach is here with us, our first conversation, and we're enjoying it very much. Where did you come from? Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I grew up in Wyoming, Michigan, so I'm a Michigander born and bred.
Beautiful.
Over there on the west side of the state. Oh, I loved it. I had a great childhood. My dad worked at Steelcase. He worked nights on the line when I was a kid building chairs. My mom was a preschool teacher. They both grew up on farms. And for me, I'm a creature of Michigan's public education system through and through. And that was transformative for me. And honestly, Paul W., it's why I came back from the East Coast, where I had been for 20 years, to first be the dean of a law school here at Wayne State. And then when I was asked to step into the interim role, I was happy to serve, because I believe so much in what we do here. So I'm just really excited to be able to contribute in this way.
Well, this is one connection we have with your dad at Steelcase, my favorite business chair, and best for my back that I've ever had in all these years, is a Steelcase chair that I got from Lori Powell. And it was NBS Commercial Interiors Steelcase. That's what it is. So I, as soon as you said that, my ears perked up and I went, wait a minute, I have a Steelcase connection. So you would like to be, you'd like us to help you remove the interim in your title, I think.
Well, I appreciate you raising that. Look, what I will say is I stepped into this role because the university asked me to serve, and I did that because I want what's best for the university. And that's how I'm approaching the next several months here. The Board of Governors is going to go through a search process, and if it identifies a candidate that it thinks would be fantastic for the university. I want to support that candidate. If the board decides that it wants me to stay in the role longer, I would seriously consider that because I just want what's best for the university.
Well, that's a very good answer. It is like running for office, I guess, because, you know, they're going to be looking at a variety of people. But you get our vote from our first and only conversation. I don't even know who the other people are, but I think you'd probably be very good at this. You've got a heart for this. You're a Michigander, back even when we were Michiganians.
but that's right.
I hope that they can remove that interim title and we'll have you back often.
Well, Paul, I would love to come back. Again, I appreciate you having me on here, and I wish you and the rest of the crew there at WJR and all of your friends and family and loved ones the happiest of holidays.
We wish the same for you. Wayne State University Interim President Richard Biersbach. Thank you, sir, and good luck to you. And again, happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah. We celebrate all of them here in Focus on WJR. I love the sounds of the season, and boy, you're going to have a lot of them, lots of great music over the next several days when it should be out there for Christmas and the holiday. Enjoy. We'll be with you on the air Monday and Tuesday, and then we turn it over to the special programming that Ann Thomas has planned for these holidays. Oh, don't let me forget to do my dad's letter to a friend or my mother's. Now it is Christmas with Larry Santos. We got to get those in while we can. The tradition for 40 years continues. News that is underway right now, and Marie Osborne is here to fill us in. Let me see. I just changed some things looking for them. It's a terrible story, and it's close to home with all the terrible news out there. There are some late-breaking developments involving the shooting Thursday night outside of a Kroger store on Ford Road in Westland. And it seems, I don't know any details. Maria's going to fill us in, but a Salvation Army bell ringer was killed?
Yes.
WJR's Marie Osborne with the latest. What's that about? Please tell me it was some other kind of a personal, I mean, there's nothing that's going to make it good.
Well, we do have some more details on this, but you're right, it's never good. So officers were called to the scene just after 6 o'clock near Central City Parkway. They spent hours looking in this area and trying to secure the area and gathering evidence. So a short time ago, police confirmed that the suspect in this case was arrested this morning. The mayor of Westland, Kevin Coleman, confirming the suspect is a teenage boy. It's not known when he will be arraigned. Police say this was not a random act, and the victim and the suspect knew each other. We just don't know much else about how this happened or why it unfolded. Now, in a statement, the Salvation Army expressed deep sorrow over the loss, offering support to the victim's family and the community. They are pledging full support to the investigators. Kroger also issuing a statement acknowledging the tragedy and deferring all the questions to law enforcement as this investigation continues. Now, there's no connection to this other case that we had back on October 7th, a stabbing at a Kroger marketplace in Southgate. In that case, the individual will not be charged in the death of a 23-year-old man after the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office determined he acted lawfully and in self-defense. Again, that was a case back on October 7th. But concerning this case last night that had so many people so deeply concerned, it does appear that these two knew each other, but we don't know much else about why this happened.
Well, there's never anything good, as you and I both reiterated. There's never anything good about something like this. But frankly, it is better to know that it wasn't just some horrific random act of violence. This was some kind of a personal connection. They knew each other. There was a problem there. It doesn't make it better, but in a sense it does make it better, because everyone would be scared to death going out there and just shopping now. Unfortunately, we have to be very aware anyway. Marie, we've never seen it like this, you and I, have we?
Yeah. It's, and you know what? This week in particular, starting with last weekend, has just been rough. It's just been rough, rough, rough. Can I tell you one good news story, though?
Please. Oh, my goodness, yes.
So, Santa Claus making an unexpected visit to the Salvation Army kettle in Canton. This happened on Wednesday. Somebody put a mint-condition Cougar Ant in that kettle. It was wrapped inside of a $5 bill, you know, kind of trying to deflect what it really was. And it's worth at least $4,300. So angels still do walk among us, Paul.
And you have a much better memory than I do, Marie Osborne. This happens every year. Somebody throws a gold Krugerrand or whatever they're called into one of these buckets.
Yeah. You know, it had happened mostly on the city's east side or on the east side of town. But if I remember correctly, now maybe Mike remembers better than I do, but there was some word that they got word last year or the year before that, well, we don't have any more Cougar Ants, so this is going to stop. So either this is somebody new doing this, or maybe that same person has managed to find more of these Cougar Ants and turning them over.
It's kind of like when your mom says you're not going to get everything you want for Christmas, and then she surprises you with it.
Everything you wanted. And as far as the gold, maybe they found more gold in the ceilings at the police station, if you remember that story a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember it was money. It was cash.
You covered it. Oh, I thought it was gold. It was money?
No, actual money. Yeah, it was cash. Remember they poked the ceiling tile yes. or the ceiling and money started to fall. Yeah, the Cougar Ant involved Mayor Young, and that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story.
It is a whole nother story that since we're staying with good, positive Christmas stories, we probably won't chase that one down right now.
No, we'll just stay with the lovely person who put that money in there and just, you know, just with the fun of it and somebody finding it. And how cool is that?
Are you here next week?
I will be on Monday, yes. And then we're heading out to New York with the sleigh. You know, Santa's sleigh has got to go to New York for one special grandson. So,
that's nice. Well, good for you. Well, then we'll tell you Merry Christmas again on Monday, but we'll say have a great, happy, safe holiday weekend. And remind everybody, do not drink and drive this holiday weekend. Please have somebody else do the driving if you're going to drink. We continue with our second hour of Focus with Paul W. Smith up next. So good to be with you. Hour number two of Relentless Positive Radio. You can stream us at WJR.com from anywhere in the country or the world. You can listen to us at your convenience on the podcast, also found at WJR.com. And they cut out the traffic and weather and other things that wouldn't matter depending on the time of day or night you're listening in. So please do the podcast. We miss you when you don't. The team is here. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski. Dave Rieger is going to take us to the movies today. Marie Osborne has already made her appearance. And behind the scenes, Ann Thomas and my Kim Smith, helping out all the time here with our Relentless Positive Radio. While you're on your way to making each and every day count, because we both know each day is a gift. We just need to be reminded occasionally. And about the QTR thing, quality time remaining, nobody has an answer for that. Thanks again for being an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Lots of holiday parties starting this weekend. Please, please don't drink and drive. Have a designated driver. If you're celebrating has to do with some alcohol, and you may or may not, doesn't matter. Either way, just don't drive. Just don't drive. Sunday, the shortest day of the year, and the official start of what we feel like we've been in for a while, winter. Mike Parsons, anything on your mind? I got a couple of things. You know, we mentioned yesterday, and we had to say it this way, a jet, small private jet, had crashed shortly after takeoff in Statesville, North Carolina. And we said then that the plane was registered to former NASCAR driver Greg Biffle.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we did not know, so we weren't going to say. We weren't even going to speculate, but we kind of knew if it was registered to him, that at least he was probably on it. And in fact, he was on it along with his wife and two children among the victims that I think were about seven.
Yeah, seven people.
On a Cessna C-550, that plane is at least 40 years old. And I'm told, well, that's not old with airplanes. Well, it's old in my book.
Right. And I guess ran into some trouble soon after takeoff.
Right after taking off.
And they tried coming right back to the airport, but I guess they weren't able to pull out of it.
That's why there was such a big fire, because it was loaded with fuel. Exhausted America 2025. Most adults are more than a little fine with doling out cash as gifts.
You know what, Paul? I normally just ask for money or gift cards myself because, I mean, if I need something or I want something, I go out and get it. So I'm either really easy to shop for or really hard, because there are people out there who are dead set against giving gift cards because they think they're impersonal. But it's like, I don't know. It's more pressure for me to think of a gift for you to get than just ask for money or a gift card to somewhere.
Well, the best thing, I mean, there is something special about unwrapping the present and go, oh, wow, I really need this, or I always wanted that, or whatever, even if you're faking it. but the fact of the matter is, when you do give money or a gift card, you know at least that the person's going to get what they want.
Right.
And isn't that what you want to accomplish with your holiday gift giving? So anyway, a lot of 6 in 10 Americans say, cash or gift cards are very acceptable this year.
Yeah, I'm one of those 6 of 10 Americans. It's actually, I prefer it because, like I said, it's less pressure and work for me to actually come up with a list of objects that I want.
Whoever comes up with these surveys has also decided in their survey that many of us plan to be asleep before midnight on New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
you know what? This goes with this. How many times have we heard 70 is the new 50? And I say, all right, 70 is the new 50, then 9 p.m. is the new midnight on New Year's Eve.
Here's the thing. I can't remember last time I've wanted to go out on New Year's Eve. And the way I look at it, I'll be on the couch at midnight. I don't know if I'll be awake. I'll be on the couch at midnight.
And you certainly don't want to find that to be the case out in the car.
Right, exactly. Especially what you just said about drinking and driving. So,
So staying home is not a bad thing.
No.
I mean, I for all the people who have to make money off their parties and all, that's fine. Whatever.
Right.
Trump backers spread good word on the economy. The economy is doing better than anyone expected. Inflation was lower than anyone expected. Gas prices are going down, which used to be a huge big deal when the Democrats were in office.
Right.
But the media doesn't make a big deal out of it now. And how about this? I did not hear this, that the president has declared Christmas Eve and December 26th as federal holidays this year. I didn't know the president could do that, but God bless him. I mean, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who would oppose that, really. I mean,
nobody that works.
Yeah. But also, Paul, we have a ETA of when the rest of the Epstein files are supposed to be released. They said by 3 p.m. today, and I'm going to guess, just like all the other file releases, it's going to be underwhelming.
I couldn't care less, I think is the proper way of saying it. I don't care at all.
I mean, I would.
If there was anything bad about Donald Trump, the Democrats would have released this information 100 times over when they controlled it all.
Yeah, I mean,
same information.
Yeah, here's the thing. I will care if something comes out about somebody that, you know, we're victimizing people, Democrat or Republican. But so far, really, the only person that's really been slimed by this was Prince Andrew, and he's not even an American politician. So I do think they do need to release all of them just so we can stop talking about this and getting ourselves.
This was so mishandled by the administration, by what's her name, the woman.
Pam Bondi.
Generally.
Yeah.
Pam Bondi really did not have a good reading on how the American people were thinking about this. To come out the way she did was just stupid.
Well, she kind of.
There's no other way to put it. She blew it.
She overpromised and under-delivered, you know, saying, oh, this will be a big release and la, la, la. And then it just turns out that it's usually just we get ourselves all worked up, and then it's either heavily redacted or there's nothing really damning in there. And
any reaction from you, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Lozinski, anyone listening here, the Kennedy Center board votes to rename the Kennedy Center the Trump Kennedy Center. Thoughts?
I mean, it's not necessary, and Trump, you know, he's doing all these weird things. Like, did you see what he did with the presidential photos? And he put these little captions underneath.
I just printed something about that. White House installs plaques mocking former presidents Barack Obama and Joe Biden. What's the point of that?
That's the thing. I mean, it's like I'm not worked up one way or another about the renaming of the Kennedy Center. I just feel like there's better things he could be doing with his time.
TikTok owner ByteDance signs binding deal to create U.S. joint venture. We knew TikTok wasn't going away. It's
right.
Too big. Too much money.
And I think Trump likes it now because he got an account and he's got a lot of followers.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure. He may have ownership. Trump administration ordered to reverse hundreds of shutdown layoffs. Okay.
Sure, that'll be challenged.
News that you've sent along to me. Epstein files, expectations versus reality, and what's going to be released. You're telling me that's happening at 3 this afternoon?
Yeah, they said by 3. So we'll see.
We'll see. I got a DoorDash coupon for 50% off 3 delivery orders. If only I did DoorDash. But anyway, it's amazing what comes through now these days, isn't it? We got a lot going on here.
I definitely did not send you that DoorDash coupon. That did not come from me. I mean, Merry Christmas, Paul.
I thought it was my Christmas present from you.
I mean, Merry Christmas, Paul. Enjoy.
No, I'm just kidding on that because I already know what Mike got me. He made me see it before I left in case I died in a fiery plane crash on my way traveling, which
right.
I was. He showed me he had... microwave popcorn and the actual butter they use at Imagine Theaters. So, I mean, there couldn't be a better gift for me, that's for sure. All right. We are underway. Hour number 2. Coming up, Steve Dolent, the retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief, weighing in on the whole Brown University shooting, the murder of an MIT professor. By the way, I said... When they said there's no connection, I said, how can they say something so stupid when they don't even know what they're talking about regarding the suspect for the Brown shooting? And yet they're weighing in on the shooting of the MIT professor? Well, they were wrong on both counts. This has been the worst. We'll talk to Steve. Coming up in Focus, WJR. All righty. Couple of quick things here. Keith Newell asking me, remember I got the grounding pad and I didn't know anything about it. And I said, well, I'll give it a try. I don't know anything about it, but I'll give it a try. And his wife is asking, how's the grounding pad thing working out? And I got to say, I notice no difference in any part of my body or anything using the grounding pad. Now, some people swear by them. I could just as easily swear at him. So that's not there. And also, Keith reminds us, on Christmas Eve, kids will be coming to the Wexford County Airport in Cadillac to watch Santa on NORAD as he delivers presents in Europe. Then the kids get to talk to Santa via amateur radio while he is in his sleigh. So that sounds pretty cool. Thanks, Keith, for the heads up on that. We always like checking in with Steve Dolent because he speaks his mind. He is able to do that as a retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief. We want to talk a little bit about what appeared to be not such great work in the whole Brown University shooting. And then, as it turns out, the murder of an MIT professor. And they said at the time, well, these are not related. And I said at the time, well, how can you say they're not related when you don't even know what you're talking about regarding the Brown person? So, anyway, glad I got that off my chest, Steve. It's time for you to get some things off your chest. What do you think?
You shouldn't beat around the bush. How do you really feel?
Well, that's how you are. You inspire me.
That chief, that was a cluster.
Yeah,
we've got
was.
The guy in custody. This is the right guy. We have plenty of evidence. Oh, guess what? Release him. We don't have enough evidence. Okay. And then what was the custodian that said, I seen the guy with the mask, and I told the police, might be the guy you want to follow, but in their defense too, a little bit, there were four different leads they were following, but they finally did good police work. Didn't catch the guy, killed himself, but tracking him down, but could have prevented the MIT murder if they had caught him sooner. And we still don't have a motive, and we never have a motive. any of those shootings, correct? Am I wrong in that or not?
No, I've not heard a motive at all. I didn't sound like, from the guy, from the one eyewitness anyone was able to talk to, one Fox or somebody on the news, talked to a guy who was in front of the classroom,
yep,
who said the guy walked in with a mask, we made eye contact. And then he later, yep, said when he walked in shooting. Why he didn't shoot the guy that he made eye contact with in the front of the class, I don't know. Was he aiming for someone specific? It doesn't sound like it, but I don't know.
No, and weren't there 44 spent casings?
Yeah. And so how did he only hit two?
Well, not a very good shot, apparently. But with 42, but he hit more. He killed two. He did kill two, and he wounded 16. And the crate, did you see about the two females that were there? Are going through. One had been in Parkland the day that shooting happened.
She was
next
heard
door.
That. Yeah, I did hear
And the
that.
Other one had actually been shot in a mass shooting at a school in L.A., and she went to Brown University because it's small, and she figured, I'll get away from the big city, no problems.
Safer.
And this happens. Yeah, yeah. And for what it's worth, did you hear about the parents saying that we shouldn't do active shooter training because it's traumatic for the kids?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. They asked me about that, and I said, really? And you and I are about the same age.
What are they thinking?
Right? Okay, so you and I are about the same age. Do you remember the Cold War? And how we used to lay in the hallway with a coat over us like it's going to stop anything?
No, I remember climbing yes, under my desk if a nuclear, yes, bomb,
yes,
landed.
Yes.
Whatever that was supposed to do.
No, right.
No, I don't think it affected me at all.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I told him, I said, I'd rather have my kid traumatized, seeing a psychiatrist, than visiting them in a cemetery.
Well put. I'd rather have them alive.
Thank you. So there's so many things like the Brown University, the police department, the chief looked terrible.
These people sorry. I tried to give them a break. I always try to give these people a break. They were just appalling in every way. Every time I saw one of their press conferences, it was like standing on the side of the road watching an accident happen.
Actually, I met once with a bunch of retired police command officers, and they said the only thing missing was the Benny Hill music. That's how bad it was. And I went,
wow,
that's a good quote. He goes, use that in your interview. So I just did. But
the only thing missing was the Benny Hill music. Sad but true.
That's right. I'm glad the case is closed, but it's really not closed because we don't have a motive. Other than the one teacher used to teach Judaic law, right? So at first I thought it might be anti-Semitic, the one teacher that was killed. Didn't she teach Judaic? She was an economics teacher, but also taught Judaic law, I thought.
Wait a minute. Was that the man?
Brown?
There was
Brown.
Another?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a teacher killed at Brown.
I thought there were two teachers, and one was targeted. Maybe I'm wrong.
There's been so many mass shootings, but anyway, with all the
anti-Semitic stuff going on, I thought that was one of the reasons, because the whole Australia thing,
the trouble with the Australia thing is the first reports made the police look bad. They were saying these were new police. They were frozen. They didn't shoot back for 20 minutes. Well, now we've learned that they shot back after they got there. 6 minutes after it started, they started shooting.
And you know what? And how many people are out there? Right. It's not like it's an easy scene. You just can't open fire because you might hit innocent people. And the guy out there was a freaking hero.
Guy that grabbed him. Oh my God! Oh. The only thing I just wish he would have used that gun on the guy right then and there.
I was surprised he dropped the gun, didn't he? After he pointed at him.
He should have grabbed the gun. He pointed at him, and then he set it up against the tree. Because my reaction was, oh my God! If the police see him with the rifle, they could shoot him.
Sure. And that guy, both of them, weren't they legal gun owners? And Australia has very strict gun law. It goes back to not the gun law.
It's the person. They've got the strictest gun laws. And that moron prime minister says, we have to have better gun laws. What a loser. I mean, it's not the weapon. Because if they don't have a gun, they're using cars in Europe. They're using knives. They're doing all kinds of things.
Yes.
It's the person. And it's the mental instability we have around the world. And apparently, We're so worried about their rights, we aren't taking them off the streets as they should be taken off the streets if they're not capable of being safe to themselves or to the rest of us.
And that's a huge problem. There's too many people out there that should not be out there and unfortunately need to be committed and can't be for whatever reason. But, you know, that's
I'm going to tell you something. Right. You know what I said, Steve, in the past, years ago?
What's that?
I didn't like the whole video game thing where kids are shooting and killing people.
God,
And then the next day they start the game up and all those people they shot and killed are alive again. And I criticized that a long time ago. Yet one of the people, witnesses, talking about this mass shooting said, oh, it was like watching a video game. I go, oh, my God.
Oh, that's what happened in Dearborn. Weren't they saying they were playing Fortnite before they caught them? They're going to do that Halloween massacre?
Yep. I haven't heard much about that lately, by the way.
No. And then two juveniles are going to try as an adult. But it's been kind of, we'll wait and see what happens. It's crazy. It's, the world's nuts.
Steve Dolan.
No, I like the fact you're so nice and calm.
I'm pretty
calm. I love
calm.
The fact. You're so calm and even keel. I love it.
I'm trying to be kind of calm, you know. But I'm real because I'm a human being.
That's why I love talking to you, because you're like, hey, here's the deal. If you like it, great. If you don't, oh, well, that's how I feel. I love it.
Well, anyway. Because I know that smart people understand and agree with me. We all are entitled to an opinion. And if they want to have the wrong opinion, that's up to them. If they want to have the right opinion with me, then that's great.
They want the right opinion. They should listen to you. Okay.
Steve, always a pleasure.
Have a Merry Christmas.
You have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I thank you again and again for your work when you were Detroit Police Assistant Chief. And I thank you for the great work you're doing now, retired and speaking your mind, which is what we want. That's why we elected Donald Trump. We want to hear someone speak their mind. Now, we don't always, you know, sometimes he's off a bit. But beyond that, he's speaking his mind and trying to do things, lots of things that we think are good.
I agree.
All right, Steve. Thanks much, my friend.
Appreciate Have a good one. You guys take care.
Bye. You too. Oh, indeed it is. And showing you all the different talents that Dave Rieger has with our Rieger Reviews It. And it is brought to you, sponsored by Wigley's Famous Eastern Market Corned Beef. The temperatures are downright cold outside. Winter arrives officially Sunday, which means it's time to get yourself to Jimmy D's Restaurant and Lounge for a hot corned beef, dinty, or Reuben sandwich. Proudly serving their legendary Wigley's corned beef sandwiches since 1987, stacked high and modestly priced. That's Jimmy D's on Grosbeck in Clinton Township. Wigley's Famous Eastern Market corned beef, just what the doctor ordered in the cold winter months. Well, for that matter, any time of year, Wigley's good for me. Hello, David Rieger, and I must say it's especially exciting for me when I stumble upon something, which is pretty much how I get through life these days, stumbling through. I'm watching a movie with Kim, and I go, man, this is familiar to me for some reason or another. It turns out it was the Knives Out movie, Wake Up Dead Man, that you had just reviewed and given three Wigleys.
What did you think?
So I thought you were spot on. It was excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a little, I might have, because I'm a softie, I might have given it four Wigleys. But three Wigleys is big for you, but it was very well done.
Yeah.
And then the guy, look at this guy on hosting Saturday Night Live, and I go, man, he looks familiar. Well, he was the guy who played the priest.
There you go.
So anyway, he must be somebody something, because he didn't even mention the Wake Up Dead Man, the Knives Out movie, until two or three things in that he was talking about he was doing.
Must be doing a lot of stuff.
Okay. What do we have leading into this holiday weekend?
Where do you want to start? Obviously,
theaters. Let's start with the theaters.
Both of these are in the theaters this week.
Ah.
Okay. The first one, The Housemaid, based off of the book by Freda McFadden. And this is Sydney Sweeney's new movie. She plays Millie Calloway, a young woman recently released from prison and living out of her car, and part of her parole is she needs to have a job. So she gets hired as a live-in housemaid for Nina and Andrew Winchester, played by Amanda Seyfried and Brendan Sklenar, And they're a wealthy elite couple living in a this really cool, pristine mansion. But what appears isn't always the backstory. So what appears to be a perfect family with their daughter, things quickly turn a little dark. Nina starts to exhibit erratic behavior. She is frequently berating Millie and blaming her for things that she didn't do. And this movie just starts into a tailspin of different turns.
The movie is The Housemaid, yes, in theaters now. Let's listen.
Hi, Millie.
Hi, Mrs. Winchester.
Oh, please call me Nina. Come on in.
So why do you want this job?
I just really enjoy being a housemaid. For the right families, of course.
You know this is a live-in position, right?
Ta-da! This is your room.
What do you think?
It's perfect.
Okay, good.
So would you like the grand tour? I know I have good taste. See what you're getting yourself into? The job is mostly cleaning, organizing,
some light cooking. Everyone makes
mistakes. Hello?
Millie's gonna be living with us.
She's gonna live with us.
Andrew, I told you that.
She'd be part of the family. I want you to feel safe here.
I do.
Okay, I here's my first problem, knowing nothing about this movie. I'm asking my listeners right now, what woman would hire a Sydney Sweeney lookalike to be a live-in maid in their house? Seriously, why would you ask for that kind of trouble?
Well, you'll find out. You will find out. Trust me. This lot of twists and turns. This movie was really good. I was very surprised. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, The Housemaid in theaters now. How many Wiggly sandwiches?
We're giving this 3.5 Wiggly sandwiches.
Wow, this is the third movie in a row now, 3.5.
Yeah, this is.
We're
I'm
on a roll here.
It's the season of miracles.
I'm telling
it
you.
It is.
Good movie. I think, yeah, you'll like it, Paul. This is something you need to watch.
I honestly, I wouldn't have been attracted to it, but if you think I should, I will.
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
All right, I do know there's some confusion for me. Kim wants to see with her mother, Erlene, I think this movie that is in theaters Christmas Day, Song Sung Blues, got to be about Neil Diamond. But I thought there was a Neil Diamond biopic out, but this isn't that.
Correct. This is not. This is this film. This is a true story, by the way. And it starts Hugh Jackman. He plays Mike Lightning Sardinia, and he's a Vietnam veteran and a recovering alcoholic. And then Kate Hudson plays Claire Thunder Stengel. So they're Lightning and Thunder, and she's a hairdresser and a Patsy Cline impersonator. And they meet at a local variety show, and they form this tribute band dedicated to the music of Neil Diamond. And it leads them from small bars and state fairs to unexpected local stardom in Milwaukee. And it follows their life together. And it's really, really done.
And you said it's based on a true story.
Yes, which I didn't know going in. And it's very well done.
Song Sung Blue in theaters Christmas Day. Let's listen.
I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a sex symbol. I just want to entertain people.
I don't want to be a hairdresser. I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to garden. I want a cat.
I need something big. I need something new.
What do you think?
You don't want to be a Neil Diamond impersonator. You want to be a Neil Diamond interpreter.
I was looking for the right way to say it, and you just came right out and said it.
Girl, we can't stay long.
We should call ourselves Lightning and Thunder.
We got things we gotta catch up on.
So you be Lightning and I be Thunder.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go any shorter than this.
I want it to ripple and wave when the wind blows my shirt.
Wind in a bar? How?
Like a leaf blower.
Do you have one?
Sure.
Sweet Caroline. So good.
Oh.
Who knew Neil Diamond, number one, had so many more songs than, you know, Sweet Caroline, number one. And yep. I heard an interview with Hugh Jackman in which he went to Neil Diamond's house and to talk to him about this movie. Wow. And apparently, his whole family was there. And this is the thing. Whenever they sing Sweet Caroline at Neil Diamond's house, and I think Neil Diamond's going through Parkinson's right now, if I'm correct, the ba, 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 the whole family does it every time.
And why not? I would, that, too.
Listen, this movie was great. I will give this one also 3.5 Wigglies. It's out Christmas Day. It's the perfect movie to go see on Christmas.
As it says here, based on a true story,
100%.
Two down-on-their-luck musicians, Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, good actors, form a joyous Neil Diamond tribute band, proving it's never too late to find love and follow your dreams. Well, that's a great Christmas theme.
Yeah, it's really good. I think that you will enjoy both of these movies, Paul W. I think you need to go see them both.
Well, then I will, because I follow what you say. The one and only Dave Rieger, who's finally found a great job and does a good job with it. With The Housemaid and Song Sung Blue in theaters, and both of them got 3.5 Wigley's corned beef sandwiches. So God bless you for that. And, this is it for the year. We won't talk to you again until next year.
We'll see you in 2026.
We will look forward to that, David. Thanks for your help all year round with the show and behind the scenes with your producing and your technical abilities. I still need your help with my one computer, but we'll figure that out. And I thank you for all of that.
Take care, Paul W.
You take care as well. At 1:46, we continue in Focus on WJR. I just want to say that the best gift we can give or receive is a tough one. It is a tough one, but it is possible. It's the gift of health. The gift of health. If you want to enjoy the holidays without taking pills or getting injections for chronic back, knee, or neck pain, you can, thanks to Dr. Sol Kogan's non-surgical, non-invasive, all-natural intradisc neutrosis treatments at the Nerve and Disc Institute. We'll take Rick, for example. Rick couldn't walk. He was scheduled for back surgery. He was scared to death. And after treatment with Dr. Kogan, he said he walks 5 miles now in no pain, which, quote, feels like a miracle, end of quote. The Nerve and Disc Institute has helped thousands of people, like Rick, like me, like Kim, with sciatica, spinal stenosis, neuropathy, and bulging degenerative and herniated discs, avoid spine surgery, and are now successfully helping people avoid knee replacements with Knee Restore RX, brand new Knee Restore RX. Plus, and this is important, the first 10 new patients who call and start either treatment in December in Farmington, Clinton Township, or the Grand Blanc location, Farmington, Clinton Township, Grand Blanc, will get 60% off their treatment plan. Call the Nerve and Disc Institute at 586-416-DISC, 586-416-DISC, or 586-416-3472, 586-416-3472. Dr. Sol Kogan and his team, which is fabulous, at the Nerve and Disc Institute are standing by ready to help you and want to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. They, too, celebrate everything we celebrate during this holiday season. We continue in Focus with Paul W. J.R. You got to listen to this story, and the ending is the kicker here, okay? So a pregnant woman rants on X after nearly missing a flight yesterday over what she called an absurdly invasive pat-down, calling on President Trump and Homeland Security Kristi Noem to abolish the TSA. She said, I nearly missed my flight this morning after the TSA made me wait 15 minutes for a pat-down because I'm pregnant and didn't feel like getting radiation exposure from their body scanner. I don't blame her for that. If I'm carrying a baby, I'm not walking. I'm not going to be carrying a baby as far as I know, but I'm not walking through that. I don't like walking through radiation scanners anyway. This is a long story that goes way back. But anyway, she says the agents were passive aggressive, rude, and tried to pressure me and another pregnant woman into just walking through the scanner because they said, oh, it's safe. Well, after finally getting the absurdly invasive pat down, I barely made my flight. She went on to say, look, the TSA is an unconstitutional agency claiming it treats travelers like her, like, quote, like a terrorist in our own country. The golden age of transportation cannot begin until the TSA is gone. This was said by the daughter of Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. How's that for a surprise?
Yeah, well, if only there was someone she could talk to about this.
She's the oldest of nine children of Sean Duffy and Fox News host Rachel Campos Duffy. I didn't know they were married to Sean, but whatever. But he's the transportation secretary, and it's his daughter calling for the TSA to go away. She didn't even call upon her dad. She called upon the president. And what's her name? Kristi Noem.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
It is kind of wild. I'm surprised she didn't say, don't you know who my dad is?
Oh, well, that's, you know, that's the kiss of death.
Right.
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
Don't you know who my dad is? Kiss of death.
But, yeah, the TSA has been around, what, for like 20 years now? It was...
Well, ever since 9/11.
Right. And I remember when the TSA first became a thing, and there was a big outcry because... through that scanner was a little more revealing than people were comfortable with. You know, remember that?
Now I remember. Yeah. I'd forgotten that. Yeah. But I more or less have no trouble with the TSA. I salute them. They've got a tough job.
Yeah.
And they did it for free for a long time with the government shutdown.
Right.
Be that as it may. Again, people asking about Dave Meter, the Creative Trove Marketplace. That's where you get these wonderful things created by people with disabilities, and you can help them by going to TroveMarket.com, TroveMarket.com. Also, don't forget the ChildrensCenter.com for the AutoGlow ticket, special prices, special discount through December 27th. So do that. Go to the ChildrensCenter.com and the AutoGlow. Four countries, one incredible journey. Join Kim and me, an unforgettable trip through Europe's most beloved destinations. Call 800-383-3131. It's going to be a fabulous cruise together. Spain's lively streets, colorful culture, Monaco's glamorous charm, the chic coastal beauty of France and Italy's rich history. This is 800-383-3131, 800-383-3131, cruise and tour. And by the way, standing by for news, JR Afternoons, Ryan Ermani. Ryan, let's go.
Let's go, Paul W. I'm telling you, Friday, here we go.
All right. Thanks to the team, the team, the team. Regards, Paul W. Smith.